This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
WNYC Studios is supported by the Natural Resources Defense Council. Using science, the law, and people power, NRDC is committed to confronting the climate crisis, protecting public health, and safeguarding nature. They address the impact of fossil fuels on communities and our environment. They help protect wildlife, public lands, and irreplaceable ecosystems that all living things depend on. They work to enact policies for clean air, clean water, and access to nature for all. You can help NRDC safeguard the Earth for future generations. Visit nrdc.org/WNYC for more information.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the One World Observatory.
Observatory, straight up the block to West Boulevard and make that right.
I basically just think it'd be interesting to look at the emergence of a criminal economy.
And also, I'm always amazed that there aren't more profiles of her out there.
This really subversive, strange thing, in rap especially,
and see what their lives are like on both sides of the border.
From One World Trade Center in Manhattan, this is the New Yorker Radio Hour, a co-production of WNYC Studios and The New Yorker.
Welcome to the New Yorker Radio Hour. I'm David Remnick. Jenny Allen is a writer and a performer, and she's got a few things she'd like to say. Or more to the point, a few things she'd like you not to say.
Would everybody please stop? Would everybody please stop saying iteration? Who started iteration? Isn't it just a stuck-up version of version? Not everything is surreal. Some things are merely strange or odd or some other similar adjective. Going to your college reunion and seeing how old everyone looks isn't surreal. It's just kind of sad and a little funny. You know what's not funny anymore? Ginormous. It would be great if everyone would stop saying that. Unless you're talking about, say, cancer, would everyone please stop referring to the toxins in people's bodies? A malignant tumor is a toxin. The bacteria lining your intestines are not. They're supposed to be there. Similarly, could people stop calling other people toxic? Pol Pot was toxic, but your cranky mailman isn't. He's just annoying. Could we lose have a good one and go back to have a good day? Or better, goodbye? Regarding it's all good. Not all of it is good. Some of it is tragic. As for sad events, let us quit saying get over it. It's too mean. We're trying to get over it. Deplane is a word that the airline industry made up, like jetway, to make airplane travel sound efficient and glamorous. Unless we're flight attendants, we don't have to use that word. Better to say, after we sat on the runway for 2 hours, they canceled the flight for no reason, and we all had to get off the plane. Thank you so much for cooperating. Goodbye.
That's the writer and performer Jenny Allen reading Would Everyone Please Stop? It's the title piece in her new collection, and you can find everything she's written for The New Yorker at newyorkerradio.org. This is the New Yorker Radio Hour. I'm David Remnick. I'm going to turn things over now to staff writer Adam Davidson. Adam was a war correspondent covering the Iraq War for Marketplace, and he worked for NPR. Now he covers business and politics and what happens when you have a businessman in the White House for the New Yorker. In 2017, a year into one of the most turbulent, convulsive presidential administrations ever, Adam Davidson took the time to tell us about a sandwich.
This isn't just any sandwich. This is the best sandwich I've ever had. And I've never had the experience before of, while eating a sandwich, thinking, this changes what a sandwich can be. This changes how I'm going to think about sandwiches for the rest of my life. Yeah, this was at the end of 2003, and my wife and I, she was my girlfriend at the time, we were reporters in Baghdad, and we took a Christmas vacation.
Like for Christmas, New Year's, 2003, 2004.
Yeah, we did New Year's in Lebanon, so in the next day. So it was literally January 1st, 2004.
Yeah, January 1st, 2004 was when we went to Syria, and that was our vacation from Iraq. That was our, like, we got to get out of a war zone. Let's go someplace quiet and beautiful. And honestly, it totally fit the bill at the time. I mean, Aleppo was such a beautiful, kind of crazy city. I mean, there's like a lot of this kind of amazing French architecture, like side by side with the more like medieval stuff.
And then outside, there's this old city, which was still, if you needed a hammer, like a blacksmith would like bang out, would melt metal and bang out a hammer for you. And then
right in the heart of the city is this massive crusader castle. You know, if you have to be reminded what deep history Aleppo has, like anytime you look up, it's right there.
A friend gave us the number of a friend of his, this guy Issa Tuma. He's a photographer in Aleppo, and we ended up spending almost every day of our trip with him. And he kept saying, oh, you have to eat this sandwich. There's a sandwich that's so amazing. And then one day, he took us to go get the sandwich. And that sandwich is the thing I remember most vividly about our trip to Aleppo. Yeah, so I remember us walking there, and we walked in, and it was fairly nondescript. Like, there's a long counter with, like, glass displays looking at all the stuff that would go into the sandwiches. And the thing that stuck out at me was there was a tray of sheep brains. It was just a tray with these brains, these tiny...
I mean, they were sort of laid out. They weren't, like, gory in any way. They were just these, like, big brain jewels in a row. And then the other meats were also on display, but somehow, yeah, the sheep brain got like pride of place.
People are walking in and they see us and they're like, ah, you're here for the sandwich. And Issa, like, pretty quickly is like, yeah, they've never had it before.
Right.
We decided not to go with sheep brains.
Yeah, I kind of wish we had. I really do, but we didn't. We went conservative.
Did you have tongue or something?
I had the tongue, which yeah. Felt conservative, but I love tongue. If I may.
Yeah.
Over the years, we've told a lot of people about our favorite Aleppo sandwich, but one guy, the second we started talking about it, became obsessed. Our friend Dan Pashman. Dan is the host and creator of the podcast The Sporkful. He calls it a show not for foodies, but for people who eat. He and I used to work together at the NPR Bureau in New York. So I knew Dan, like I knew Dan would get interested in this sandwich. But Dan doesn't just get interested in a food. He needs to know it with this microscopic detail.
Do you remember that? Can you describe like some of the flavors?
I remember like mayonnaise, but like more magical than mayonnaise. And I remember corn.
Corn, yes. Corn, which somehow, like, it worked.
A key issue with the sandwich is, like, you don't want too much bread and you don't want too much meat.
Ratios are crucial.
Yeah, right. And this was exactly the right.
And friction and textural contrast.
I remember it being it held together.
And there must have been a cheese, too. Radishes. I definitely remember
like pickled radishes.
It's so hard to conjure this up. I think part of the problem could have been it was so good and we were so busy eating that we sort of like forgot to focus on what it was that was making like the whole so much greater than the sum of the parts.
I'm going to let Dan Pashman take the story from here.
So Adam and Jen are telling me this story, and suddenly I get this idea. Would it be possible to recreate this sandwich?
To recreate the sandwich? No. Oh, my God. If I took a bite of something that brought back that time and place in a vivid way, as food sometimes can do, I don't know. I think I'd, like, clean your house for you or something.
I would not clean your house. I want to make that very clear.
Jen, I was going to settle for you just being emotionally moved.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So my heart says, like, so here's what I would say. So my heart is like, yes, I really want to eat that. And I'd also say, like, particularly right now, it is such an upsetting time to live in a country that so casually and easily insults refugees from Aleppo that somehow sees these poor people as a threat. It's like, no, here's what I think of when I think of the Middle East.
Do you guys remember the name of this place?
No. But my feeling, well, I think people from Aleppo, if...
You think if I ask people from Aleppo, they're going to, and I just describe the sandwich.
You should reach out to Issa for sure.
Okay. So Adam put me in touch with Issa over Facebook. So after months of back and forth, we finally worked out a time and place. We got Issa in a studio in Austria. The sandwich shop that you took Adam to.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Sergio. It's very, like, popular family name.
It's a family name. Okay. Issa hadn't been there in a while, so there was a lot that he either didn't remember or didn't know for sure. But the most important facts we got from him were, number one, the name of the place, Sergia. He also told us he didn't know for sure whether the original location was still around. He said at its peak there were three. He had heard the two had been destroyed, but he thought maybe the original Sergia by the public garden might still be there. And that gave us hope. What was your favorite sandwich to get?
I eat usually the Rosto because I like it, yeah, a lot.
Rosto.
Yeah.
Right. Can you describe to me what does it taste like?
It's some corner in your stomach will test the... They will discover it.
You're saying that there's a special place in your stomach.
For the first time, maybe you will feel that your stomach is smiling, happy.
Right. And so from there, we just cast a wide net, and we just started putting out the call to Syrian refugee organizations, Syrian American friends in immigrant food communities, and we basically just said, we're looking for people from Aleppo who know the sandwich shop Sergia. And that's how we found Shadi Martini.
Well, my name is Shadi Martini. I was born in Aleppo, Syria, and I lived through my young years through high school in Aleppo.
Shadi comes from a very wealthy family in Aleppo. In fact, his last name, Martini, is also the name of a neighborhood in Aleppo. And it's the name of a hospital that his family owns, Martini Hospital, in the neighborhood called Martini. And he loves to eat. Are there other food memories you have from your childhood or from growing up? Like, what are some of the foods you associate with your home and
well,
your family?
When I was young in Aleppo, we mainly had different kind of sandwiches, which might be weird for people from the U.S. to hear about.
Like what? Can you give me an example?
Well, one of them is the lamb brain, that the tongue of the lamb.
And brain, I mean, I have not eaten lamb brain, but can you describe it to me?
Oh, it's delicious. First, they boil it in water. Then they will put some spices, you know, there's this seven spice that they use, it's mainly with it, and they would use some lemon and something to make it a little bit, you know, sour, and it's delicious. When you hear it, it's weird, but when you eat it, it's delicious to eat.
And what about the brain sandwich at Sergia? Do you remember that sandwich?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember every sandwich. Not only at Sergia, at other places also, because I love these sandwiches. And Aleppo is a 24-hour city. Like, it never sleeps. So you can go out and eat the sandwiches even 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock. It's okay.
When's the last time you had that sandwich?
Oh, it's been a while. It's been since I left Aleppo in 2012. But I love eating, going to these places because of the memories, because of the people. You know them, you know. You know them all your life. The Aleppo, as much as it's a big city, it's like 3.5 million, but still it's like a small town, like where everyone knows each other, where... So that's the stuff I miss.
When Shadi says he left Aleppo in 2012, well, it's a little more complicated than that. He was running his family hospital in Aleppo, and he started working against the government. He was treating injured protesters and sneaking them out the back door of the hospital so they wouldn't get arrested by the secret police. He even started smuggling medical supplies around the region to people in need. Eventually, though, the government figured out what he was doing. He managed to get out of the country, but he can never go back. Do you remember the last time you went to Sergia?
We go all the time, so probably in 2012, but the last memory I remember was that they were watching TV in one of the places, and there was something in some media outlet that sent something about what's happening in Syria, and the government's line was, these are all terrorists, extremists, radicals, Islamists that want to overthrow the government. And we were all watching, but we didn't know each other. And then spontaneously, we just started laughing. Somehow we just connected by looking at each other to understand that what was said on the national TV station was a total lie describing these people. Because most of the people, we knew them. We knew them personally. You know, we knew who they are. We knew that they were, you know, just normal people like any one of us.
We got a lot of good information from Shadi. And like Issa, he had heard rumors that Sergio was still there. He couldn't tell us for sure, but we heard that from other people we were talking to also. It just seemed impossible to us. And then finally, we found a woman who still has family in Aleppo. And she confirmed it. Sergio is still there. Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Hey.
So I've been working on the mission.
The sandwich mission?
Yes.
The Aleppo sandwich?
The Aleppo sandwich. The sandwich place is called Sergia.
Sergia.
Sergia. Yes.
That is a familiar ring. So is it still
It going? Still exists.
It does?
It's still there.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That actually, I think I'm going to tear up a little bit. Yeah, that makes
that's
me
hard
so,
to believe.
So happy to hear. Wow.
Just recently, we got a new lead. Okay. A woman named Fadia, Syrian American. She's been in the US for about 30 years. She knows Sergia, and she called them.
Seriously?
She did?
And she said, there's a radio show in America that's looking for you.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So we made plans to go up to Westchester to see Fadia. My producer, Anne, took a day out of maternity leave to get back on the job, and we went up to Westchester, and that's how it happened, that I ended up sitting in Fadia's living room in Westchester, talking through an iPad app that the Syrian government can't track, with Imad Sergia.
Hello.
Hello, ahlan khayo, ahlan kifak.
Salamat.
Allah yisalmak. Ahlan akhay, Imad Sergia.
Aywa.
What do you want to ask him first?
How is he doing? He is the son of the founder of Sergia, who opened the restaurant in the 70s. He passed away, and now his sons run the place. You could tell when we first started talking to Imad that he was wary. Fadia makes a point of telling him, it's just a show about food, nothing political. I asked how he's doing, and Fadia says he can't answer that, or if he does, he's not going to tell you the truth. If anyone, especially someone as well-known as the guy who runs this famous sandwich shop, if anyone is seen talking badly about the government or the state of things, they could be in trouble. So you think even if things were bad there, he would be afraid to say it to us because he doesn't know who we are?
He can't, no. He can't say it to me.
The restaurant that was in the mall that was destroyed, how was it destroyed? No? No. Can't ask about that?
No.
Okay. But then we start talking about the food. And I start asking him, how do they make the tongue sandwich? How do you make the brain sandwich? What's in this salad? What's the mayo? And all of a sudden, you hear this passion in his voice.
Ooh, 7 hours.
7 hours what?
7 hours for the tongue to get cured. They add vinegar.
And from there, I just proceeded to nerd out on recipes with Imad Sergia. The mayo is homemade, and it has garlic in it. There are all different salads you can choose to put on your sandwich. One has olives and oregano and lemon juice. Another has corn in it. There's a sandwich called the fajita sandwich, which isn't a fajita, but it may have corn. But it might have been the one that Adam got, but it might not have been. The brain is boiled with rosemary and bay leaves, but you can't overcook it or it turns mushy. You have to chill it to be able to slice it. And then Imad says, we love our craft. We were raised doing it.
They like what they're doing. That's what he said. He said that they love what they're doing. And we say in Arabic, they call it nafas, you know, like meditation. When they cook with sentiment, like they, with a lot of love.
There was one more thing I needed to talk to Imad about. We had heard from a bunch of people that there was a Sergia open in Istanbul. And that's plausible. The families behind a lot of famous restaurants in Syria have left and opened up shop elsewhere. We heard that there's a Sergia in Istanbul. Can you ask him if it's part of his family that's opening that opened that restaurant?
في محل سيرجيا بإسطنبول هذا بربك.
هذا عمل أكلاتنا يعني نفس أكلات عمله. بس
This is one of the workers that he works for him. He went and used his name and put, you know. But he's in a good relationship with him. يعني ما هو no, يعني he does everything that they do. But since he's very well known, so it's
at this point I learned a lot about Sergia's sandwiches. I'd also learned a thing or two about the reliability of Adam and Jen's memories. So Shadi, he said that the lamb brains, the brain sandwich, is his favorite. And he said that typically they toast it, they top it with homemade pickled cucumbers, which maybe when you were talking about radishes, Jen, yeah, that could have been pickled cucumbers that you were thinking about?
Well, I said I thought it was fresh radishes plus regular pickles. So I do remember the pickles.
Right,
yeah.
Right. He does not have any recollection of there being any corn in your sandwiches.
That's so funny because that's the one thing both of us agree on.
Right.
That's really funny.
The Bald Lick sandwich definitely had corn in it.
Yeah.
Right.
So that might be, maybe we'd like shove the corn from one sandwich into the other in our memories.
Maybe.
See, I'm feeling torn now because on one hand, I feel like I'm getting closer to the sandwich.
Yeah.
We're making progress, but it's become, the more information I get, the less it sounds like what you described to me. I feel like I'm re-engineering your memories.
Yes. Were we in love?
Right. Yes.
Phew.
And so...
Although I have to... Because on our wedding bands, it says, our love is like the corn on a Sergia sandwich.
We can buff that out.
Okay. That's
not a problem. That'll buff out.
By now, it was pretty clear to me that I was not going to be able to recreate this sandwich. And it was probably foolish for me to ever think that I could. But I guess the reason why I was so obsessed with this mission was that, you know, we all know the power of biting into a food and having it trigger a memory, of having a food transport you to a place. And it seems especially powerful to be able to be transported to a place that doesn't exist anymore, or at least doesn't exist the way anyone remembers it. It kind of reminded me, this is a bit of a detour, but follow me. It reminded me of something Bruce Springsteen once said. When Clarence Clemens died, he was the saxophone player for Bruce's E Street Band, and he was the most popular guy in the band. And at the funeral, Bruce said, Clarence doesn't leave the E Street Band when he dies. He leaves when we die. And I kept thinking about that with this sandwich. Like, the sandwich doesn't die when Aleppo dies. Aleppo dies when the sandwich dies. That brings us back to Shadi Martini. These days, he lives with his family in the Detroit area, and he works with Syrian refugees. I heard that there's a Sergia that opened in Istanbul.
Yeah, I heard about that, but I've never been there. A lot of these, they're technically are refugees. They're refugees, but they are entrepreneurs. So a lot of them went out and reestablished themselves, their businesses, their shop.
Am I right that you go to Istanbul once in a while for your work?
Yeah, I go.
Shadi, next time you're in Istanbul, I want you to go to Sergia, and I want you to report back to me. You send me the bill. I'll buy you. I'm going to buy you a sandwich. All right.
I don't worry about it. When I come to New York, take me to dinner in New York. I'll pay for the sandwich.
A counter offer.
Yeah,
on the right.
Oh yeah. Well, is it? No, I see it. So let's go and have some sandwiches.
Shadi went to Sergia with Dalia Mortada. She's a Syrian-American food writer who was living in Istanbul at the time.
Let's go.
Is there anything missing, or are you like, okay, I know exactly what I want?
No, I know exactly what I want, but yeah, it's different.
What's different? So,
for instance, the type of vegetables, the type of meats a little bit is different.
Are you excited right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Where would you like to stand there?
Yeah. Do we order or how? Kif lem notlobu?
I just asked him to cut them in the middle so that I can get shots of the of the sandwiches like from the inside.
Okay.
If that's okay with you.
Yeah, okay.
you want it whole? Okay, cancel that if you want.
No, it's the small stuff, you know, like how you want your. Yeah, so. We never cut them in the middle, or he assured me that he's doing it like he's supposed to. No changes, no fancy stuff. don't do the European stuff. I just want the old Olympian sandwich. That's it.
This one's
the brain. That's a simple one. That's a sandwich. That's how I like it.
Yeah.
Let's look it up. Perfect. Just same taste. Takes you back home. The lemon is just hit you. The taste. Oh, you just get flashbacks. You know, that's the problem that we're always all facing. You know, especially left Aleppo in the last like 5 years or sooner after when military activity started. We've seen so many stuff, left such a big trauma. All of us, we're all traumatized. Even our kids, our family, everyone's traumatized. Now sometimes we, how to deal with it, we try to block it from our memory. We try to remember the good stuff. Then when you get something like this, you get everything back. And you get, you recognize that you're not coming back. You're not going back anymore, dude. That's it. That's how you're gonna remember where you live. So it's tough sometimes, but enjoy the food.
That was Shadi Martini at the Sergia Sandwich Shop in Istanbul. Dan Pashman reports every week on his podcast, the sporkful, which is not about food, but about eating, as he likes to say. That's it for this week. See you next week, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. We're at New Yorker Radio.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is a co-production of WNYC Studios and The New Yorker. Our theme music was composed and performed by Meryl Garbus of Tune Yards, with additional music by Alexis Quadrado. This episode was produced by Alex Barron, Emily Botine, Ave Carrillo, Rhiannon Corby, Jill Duboff, Karen Frillman, David Krasnow, Louis Mitchell, Sarah Nix, Mythili Rao, Stephen Valentino, and Richard Yeh, with help from Rhonda Sherman, David Ohana, Terrence Bernardo, Michelle Moses, Emily Mann, and Jessica Henderson. The Aleppo Sandwich Story was produced in collaboration with The Sporkful, with help from Anne Saney. The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported in part by the Tarina Endowment Fund.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.